The text I'm going to deal with this morning is, in fact, is the text I dealt with about 10 years ago. I took these two verses, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, we just read a few moments ago, to preach about the Church of God. Since then, from time to time, I have quoted them to emphasize the importance and significance of the Church of God. Today, once again, by expounding these two verses, I love to study about the meaning and importance of local churches. Oftentimes we neglect. To study this topic is a necessity for all of those people who desire the health of their local congregations and their own spiritual growth through the ministries of local churches. Local churches are extremely important. It is because by going to the local churches, in physical sense, we are able to hear God's word at the same time, even after we are gone. Our succeeding generations will be able to be gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ, and they will be able to hear God's word and worship God as well. In particular, as for those individuals who have grown up in this church, they need to know the value of their church, Hope Church. And as for those who are either new or not so acquainted people to Hope Church, they need to understand the importance of this local congregation and learn to cherish and look after her. Being a part of this church is not our right, but our privilege, I would say. It is because of two reasons. Number one, God has called us to be here because of God's divine providence, because of God's divine mercies, we are gathered together in this place. I do not believe that it is accidental that you and I are being together this morning as worshipers in this church. I firmly believe in God's infallible providence, which does not know any error or mistake. Therefore, your being here this morning with us is not a mistake. It's not an error, but it is the will of God. Therefore, to be here in this church at this moment of time is an outcome of God's grace bestowed upon you and me. Number two, there are people who have given their thoughts, prayers, efforts, sacrifices, and commitments to this church to be built, established, and experienced healthy growth. We are enjoying the fruits of their hard work. Thus, we must cherish and care for her. Though you and I will be gone away someday, we cannot live forever on this planet. This church must be here continually for the testimony of our Jesus Christ. Thus, our children should be able to come here. They will be able to hear the same, exactly the same gospel message from the Word of God. Thus, hurting, weakening this local congregation or local church's soundness, harmony, unity cannot please the Lord. Unless we despise all of those individuals who have given themselves to build this local congregation to meet the spiritual needs of many worshipers here, we must be careful in our works and acts and words not to make an ungodly or unspiritual dent to this congregation, local church. Today, my focus based on today's text is about the church, in particular, local churches. Paul instructs us about the Church of God by demonstrating three really noticeable features of God's church. And they are, number one, church is the people of God. Number two, church is the house of the living God. Number three, church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And because there are so many ingredients we need to consider very carefully, I'm going to make a sequel to this message next week. So I'm going to divide this message into two, and I'm going to deliver only one feature of God's church this morning with some introductions. Why we need to talk about the importance and significance of a local church. Why? Reasons for this talk. The topic we are going to deal with is very ordinary about local churches, but the importance of this study is extraordinary. Maybe you are interested in hearing about some supernatural work of God or some sort of supernatural experiences you may need to pray for. And they, those topics may excite you, but this topic, the local church importance and significance and value of local congregation is a really extraordinarily important topic we need to consider. First of all, why we need to talk about it? To deliver this message is a necessity. Because there are sincere Christians who do not fully understand the value of local congregations and local churches. Thus, with all their sincerity and zeal for the Lord, what they do is not to edify their valuable local churches, but to weaken them. The believers in Corinth, for example, were very zealous people. They were very energetic people with God's bitternesses. They were eager to what they did and believed very firmly. Oftentimes, immature but zealous Christians make a mistake that they edify themselves with their zeal and enthusiasm for the Lord while they do not edify the whole church. Probably we have seen one of those examples when we are studying 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Those people who are saying that they did have the gift of tongue speaking, they edify themselves, but Paul's consistent rebuke was that you have not edified the church. Therefore, it was a rebuke if you read chapter 14 very carefully. So, instead they bring schisms, divisions, disunity, and discontentment into their church, which hinders the church from moving forward to grow with the ministries of God. They have forgotten that they also are a part of exact the same body. So while they are building themselves up, actually they are breaking up the body. By schismatic spirit, the whole body suffers and consequences are extremely grave. So it is extremely important for us to know why we need to study this. It is a necessity for us to know the importance and value of local congregation. Second reason is this. Our familiarity with churches or local churches, our familiarity with it, keeps us from seeing the importance and significance of local churches as we should see. Wherever we turn to, there are local churches. Therefore, we say, well, you know, churches are everywhere. What is the specialty or what is so significant? Why is it so significant for us to know about local congregations? We talk about church or churches quite frequently. We have always thought that Christians are the ones going to church for the last 2,000 years. However, there are so many groups calling themselves as churches. There are so many names, including Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran, Anglican, Brethren, or Charismatic churches. There are Seventh-day Adventist churches. Even Mormons are calling themselves as churches, and so on. If we disagree with one church, we freely move to another church. Even people who are disciplined by one church are welcomed by another congregation nearby. Of course, the Church of Rome also claims her authority in relation to Christian churches. There are many, many more groups under the umbrella of the name church. I do not obviously intend to study the list of it. We are utterly confused by all these different groups. Our innocent lay people in the pews are wondering why all these churches cannot be united as one and why there are so many denominations. What's the use of it? Their questions are innocent, but their implications are significant. Ministers have echoed the voices raised from the pews. Why can't we be one? Thus, there are so many churches promoting the unity of churches in the world, which has been labeled as ecumenical movement. Our question is whether such a movement is healthy, biblical, or godly. It needs to be reiterated that Hope Church is a separated church and rejects ecumenical movement. If you have been with us less than 10 years, probably you have not heard many messages I had delivered concerning the matters of ecumenism, and I have delivered the messages against ecumenism. Someday I will revisit the topic for your understanding, but it is very for sure and clear that ecumenical movement is wrong. How can I sit down together with those people who do not believe in the same thing according to the scriptures and say amen to his prayers or those individuals' prayers? I know that there are a lot of meetings being held and conferences and seminars held so that all kinds of denominations are coming together, including Roman Catholics. Our forefathers, during the Puritan times, even Westminster Confession of Faith, calls the Pope as Antichrist. And how come today the children, the descendants of the Reformation, are sitting together with them in the name of God and serving together? I want you to know that it is Hope Church's position that ecumenical movement is anti-Bible and anti-true Christianity. Our next and more complicated question is, who is going to decide the definition of the church, if then? How can we define church? Are all churches true churches of God? If not, which church is a true church? We must be aware that the Bible constantly warns us about the dangers of false teachers and false teachings. It implies that there are true churches and false churches. Then how do we know the difference between true and false churches? If we know the difference, we can pursue our efforts to purify and strengthen our churches. That's why we need to understand the importance and true nature of a local congregation. Thirdly, reason is this. The Bible talks about two kinds of churches, and we need to know and understand them in order to serve the Lord in the local congregation in a proper manner with the right perspectives. It is because the lack of knowledge of two kinds of churches will lead us to misunderstand our involvement in local congregations or with a church in the worldwide. The Bible talks about two kinds of churches, and so one is universal church or invisible church. Another church is visible or local churches. Invisible or universal church is consisted of all the believers of Jesus Christ from all nations and all times in history. So, it doesn't matter where you worship or in what stage in history you became worshipers or you were worshipers. It doesn't matter. All those Christians are be together and they become one united congregation universally. Thus, Jesus is the Lord and head of his church, which is all churches everywhere in history. We are a part of this universal church. Therefore, when we visit other churches, we say that you are my brothers and my sisters. And so we are a part of this universal church. But the local churches or visible churches, like our church in this place, are consisted of professing believers at different locations and in different historical times. They are brought into local congregations by the confession of faith for salvation and the subsequent water baptism. Some people consider only the invisible church is the church they should consider. So they claim that they are the members of an invisible or universal church. Thus, they neglect local congregations. They say, we do not have to go to local churches. It is because we are the members of universal churches and we believe in Jesus Christ. Therefore, that's it. There is no point for us to go to local churches because local churches, there are so many mean and naughty people. We do not like this person and that person. I do not like that pastor or this elder, etc. Therefore, I'm going to worship in my home alone. There are people who are saying that. Or some people take an opposite view that local churches are the only churches. Thus, they neglect fellow brethren in different parts of the world. For example, some people, you know, you heard that there was a bombing against the church in Sri Lanka. And some people, I'm sure, that immediately respond to that news that we must do something. We must do something for those brethren who are afflicted in such a violent act in Sri Lanka. But probably some of you, you have heard the news and you really didn't care. And you are not willing to do anything about it. You may feel very sorry for them, but that's it. So there is no kind of connection as members of one body. Which part are you belong to? So you can figure it out by examining your own thoughts. Thus, they neglect fellow brethren in different parts of the world. But both groups are terribly wrong. The Bible teaches us about both the universal and the local churches. The first century believers were gathered together to worship, to learn, to fellowship, and to pray. Believers are to be together. Thus, they were gathered in Jerusalem. So there is a church in Jerusalem. There is a church in Antioch. There is a church in Galatia, Philippi, Colossae, Ephesus, Thessalonica, etc., etc. Hebrews 10 verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, then it says, together. As the manner of some is, so there were some people who were forsaking the gathering with the fellow brethren. But the Hebrews, the author of the book of Hebrews says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. They are wrong. But exalting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching, as the day of the Lord, as the day of his second coming is coming closer and closer, do not forsake the common bond by being gathered together. But we are to be gathered. It is our honor and privilege to be a part of local churches. It is our honor and privilege to be a part of a local congregation, Hope Church. So there are plenty of reasons why we need to study this subject. So today we are going to think about the first feature, characteristic of God's church, according to Paul's exhortation. And I hope that you have a sense of belonging to local congregation. You are to be a part of local congregation. Do not remain as visitors, or as if you are visitors, or perpetual strangers, coming and going, and as a result, you feel that you have served the Lord. No, that is not sufficient. You are to be gathered together with fellow brethren. You are to minister to other people. That's the meaning of local congregation. So first, the characteristic of a local church is that the church is the people of God. Can we read 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, just to remind us of the meaning of church. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, let's read it together. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Amen. In verse 14, Paul expresses his desire to be with Timothy and his church shortly. So he wanted to visit him and his church. However, somehow, because of unknown reasons, he was not able to come as he was thinking. He did not want to delay the necessary instructions for his pastor purposes. Therefore, he wrote this letter to him. We should know that the portion of the scripture we are studying today is a part of the pastoral epistles. In other words, it is an important part of our understanding of the church of God and her ministries. It is directly related to local church. All pastors must know of this book because this is a part of pastoral epistles. And all believers must understand this book in order to build healthy local churches. According to verse 15, Paul anticipated that he might not be able to come to Timothy in certain time frame he was thinking about. Delay was inevitable. This delay gave him the opportunity to give Timothy some instructions in written form, in writing. He tells him about three features of true Christian churches. The first feature of the church of God, we find from verse 15, is that the church refers to the people of God. So first of all, Paul's teaching in verse 15 indicates that a church refers to a people of God. In this verse, Paul writes that Timothy may know how he ought to behave himself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. It is to know for him, it is for him to know how he should behave or how believers ought to behave themselves in the house of God. Here, church is being described or explained as the house of God. The Greek word translated as a house also means not a building, but it refers to a household or all the persons forming one family. It's not referring to a building, but it is a family, household, or all who are in the family of God. A church, in other words, is a people of God. When someone says of Hope Church, he says of you, me, people, not this building. This building is a place of worship. The church is us, we, people. The nature of church, which is the people of God, produces conduct and relationships amongst them, which prompts Paul to write this letter to Timothy. It is because there are people who are making up a church. So there are so many people in a church. We know that there are conducts, manners, relationships to be produced. Secondly, the whole lesson we are going to learn from this text must be applied to local churches. Paul is not writing to Timothy about universal church here. It is because Paul is writing it to Timothy in particular that he ought to behave himself in the church of God. And Timothy was just a one man who was present in one place at one time. And that was the place where Paul wanted to visit with. But he could not make the trip at the time. That's why he was writing this letter. Though Paul's instruction to him here could be applicable to the universal church, more in particular, it is an instruction to the church where Timothy was ministering at, which was a local congregation, local church. All who are present in the Hope Church, now as worshipers of God, must know that they are the ones who must learn from Paul's instructions here. Thirdly, the church of God refers to people, not just the people, but the people who ought to behave themselves within the local churches. People of God, which is a church, they must know how to behave themselves within the local churches. It's interesting. Paul says, thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. The believers of Christ are expected to behave in their local churches, local congregations. It presupposes that all of us have potentials of misbehaving ourselves or not properly behaving as we ought to. That's why learning is necessary. To behave rightly in local churches or local congregations indicates that believers are expected to learn and to get trained to know what it means to behave rightly as the members of local congregations. So we do not bring our own whatever experiences or whatever the notions and concepts we were able to glean from the world into churches. Christians' conduct and behaviors within Christian church local congregations are different. 1 Timothy chapter 3 is a well-known chapter for the qualifications of elders and deacons. In particular, verse 6 says, in chapter 3 verse 6 says, not a novice, Lest being lifted up with pride, they fall into the condemnation of the devil. In other words, we do not appoint new beginners or new Christians to be elders or pastors or deacons into church offices. We may be novice by being new beginners or long-time believers without proper learning. In order to teach and instruct us, the Lord gave us local congregations and proper local church governments by appointing His servants like pastors, elders, or deacons. That is why our church cannot appoint anyone who has not properly learned in this local congregation to be leaders. Acts chapter 6 verse 3. You may want to read it. Acts chapter 6 verse 3. Here, seven men are chosen by local church, Jerusalem church, through the request made by the apostles themselves. Here is a guideline. Acts chapter 6, verse 3. Let's read it together. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Amen. So, pay attention to the first qualification to be chosen to be one of the seven men in Jerusalem church. Of course, they need to be full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom and so on. But the first one is quite interesting. That person must be a man of honest report. Honest report. The Greek words for man of honest report could be translated in different ways. So I checked, not just a lexicon, but I checked different translations, you know, how other translations saw it. Honest, man of honest report. And the ESV says, man of good repute. Good reputation. And NAS says, man of good reputation. The literal meaning of the Greek word for good report means to be witnessed or to be testified. So they are the ones who are testified and witnessed by the local congregation in Jerusalem. And the local congregation have given their heartfelt approvals to those men to be chosen as potential leaders. These individuals were chosen by objective testimonies and witnesses. Objective, not subjective, but objective testimonies and witnesses. They had received the congregational approvers to be the leaders for their church. Their subjective evaluation or self-recommendation was not a criterion to choose church leaders. In other words, I can do it. I am happy, more than happy to do it. Can't you see my abilities? Those things are not the qualifications set when we choose those individuals to be the leaders. This sort of approvers by fellow believers is extremely important to all believers in local congregations. Our testimonies are set not by just ourselves, but by objective observations. Not because I am thinking I am a good Christian, others should be able to share the same view with us. With me. That's the testimony. They must have a commendable testimonies. Not self-commendation. According to Paul's expressions, they ought to know how to behave themselves amongst the household of God. They ought to be witnessed and testified by fellow believers. Fourthly, the meaning of the Church of God both implies and instructs us that the believers of Jesus Christ are not to be loners. They are not to be separated from the fellowship with the fellow brethren. You know, we know, probably you have known some seemingly self-professing and confessing godly men and women who do not want to be associated with other people, who do not want to be interacted with other people. They are basically saying, leave us alone. Do not touch. We are okay. Probably you have seen those seemingly godly individuals. But we are not to be loners. We are to be a part of one body. We are to be the members of one body. When we fail to do it, in fact, the whole body suffers. Let me just give you an illustration from my backache. You know, a few months ago, one particular spot on my foot, on my right side of foot, whenever I stepped on in a hard surface, I began to feel pain. So I tried to avoid that pain, so I used other parts of my foot. So in order to make a compensation. So it went on for a few months. Then out of blue, more than 3 weeks ago, almost 4 weeks ago, I had a backache. And usually when we have backache, you know, sometimes we take medicine or use some creams and so on, and within a week or so it will go away. Or some of us love to have some needles. Then it will go away. But this time it was a kind of lingering problem. So I wasn't sure what happened. Definitely, probably it was not a spine problem. And so I went to see a physio, and he explained to me what might have happened. It is because in order to avoid the pain, I began to use different parts of my body to make compensation for the missing part. As a result, it affected all the rest of the muscles. As a result, affliction and the pain comes. Some people are to be the members of one body, but when they are excluding themselves from the one body, in fact, the whole body suffers because the rest of the body has to make compensations for the missing part. Can you see the picture, fuller picture? So if believers begin to remove themselves from the fellowship with the fellow brethren, they are getting hurt, and they are hurting the local congregations as well. They must be united with other believers in local churches. How do I know? It is because just by looking at the Paul's instruction, we can find it. Because we need to be united, that is why everyone ought to learn to behave himself or herself well in the church of God, which is the household of God. The reason that we need to learn to behave ourselves in the house of God well enough is because we are together with others. We are not alone. We cannot say, leave me alone, I am who I am. No, it is not God's will for you not to be alone. You are not supposed to be alone. You are to be together with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. It is important for us to consider the word behave thyself. This word refers to moral conduct, way of life, behaviors. When we are around other people, we know of our behaviors and conducts. These conducts and behaviors are demonstrated and tested within the relationships amongst the people of God. It speaks of the importance of relationships within the community of God's people. It is not just to promote some sort of fellowship only. It is to build and mold individuals' characters within the believer's community. And God wants them to be molded according to His image. By having those relationships within the body of believers, and sometimes they need to learn how to behave themselves within the believer's community. There are unspiritual people who need to be spiritual. There are arrogant people who need to be humble. There are narrow-minded people whose hearts need to be opened up more. There are self-centered people who need to consider others first. There are selfish people who need to learn to be generous. There are people with partisan spirits who need to learn to cherish the whole body of Christ. All of us need to learn to behave in our local churches, and that is necessary, and that is good for us. That is the way that we are being molded. We are being conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. We are not going to be self-centered people. We will find opportunities to to mend the flaws and strengthen the weaknesses by being together with our fellow brothers and sisters. Sometimes, oh, some people are troublesome to your mind. You just cannot understand them. You have done your very best, but still they are bringing all kinds of reasons of disagreements and conflicts, etc. And so sometimes you want to pray, Lord, either remove me from here or remove them from me. Well, remember, while we were yet sinners, God demonstrated His love by sending His own Son, Jesus Christ. Then, even though that much disagreement God had with us, He had shown His love by sending His only begotten Son, eventually to die on Calvary's cross. We can build a healthy church by being together and working together. Maybe you are someone who feels hurt all the time. I am hurt because of him. I'm hurt because of them. Maybe that's why God has put you in this place around those individuals. You need to be conformed to the image of Christ. You need to be molded. Or some people may say, you are too offensive. You are too much on this and that. And you may feel, you know, why am I here? What I'm doing here? Maybe that's why God has put you here, so that you will be molded according to the image of God. You need to learn how to behave yourselves in the house of God. It encourages us. It encourages us to have a proper perspective of being Christians and serving in Christian churches. Some people have argued that they would not join any local church because there are too many naughty and nasty ones in Christian churches, and they just hate them. They feel it hard to get along with them. That's why their conclusion is that instead of being troubled there, or I may become a troublemaker to them, I'd better stay away from them so that they can have peace and I will have peace. No, that is not the will of God. God wants you to be together so that you will be changed and they will be changed. So everyone will be changed according to the image of God. Sanctified. I'm a pastor. Usually, people do share things with me, not when they are excited. When they are excited, everything goes very well. They don't care about me. But when they are troubled because of my words or something, for the sake of peace, make sure that they want to tell me how they have been felt, or how they have felt, etc. Well, then what should I do? Lord, please remove him. Lord, please remove them. No. Whether someone is a thorn, someone is a sharp knife, they are all precious God's people, and they are for me. They are for me. Sometimes I may behave and act like a sharp knife against you. It is because you need me. So we are all together, and we are building up one body of Christ. In the meanwhile, we are being conformed. We are being sanctified. Sometimes people say that, you know, we have too many disagreements with them, etc., so they cannot join the local congregations. Thus, they'd better to stay away from such people. It's a purely a disobedience to God's will. In my opinion, such problems are probably the very reasons why God purposes us to be together in one church, in the local congregation. We need to be molded not by our own self-righteousness, not by our own measurement, but by brotherly love, patience, virtues, even sacrifices. You know, long-suffering, patience, love, charity, brotherly love, and so on, they are all fruits of the Holy Spirit, or they should be the parts of our Christian character according to Galatians chapter 6 and 2 Peter chapter 1. Why God is telling us that we need to be patient while everybody seems to be a saint? No. Everybody is a saint by privilege, But still, they are acting like sinners in nature. And we need to be molded by being patient. It is because some people are patient toward us too. We need to love other people. It is because despite our ugliness, others are still loving us. Going away from the household of God, the community of God's people, is a grave mistake for individual believers. We are to be united. We are to be one. We are to be confirmed and transformed together. Isn't it beautiful? So it is your destiny for you to be with me. What a blessing that is. Fifthly, the Church of God requires our proper behaviors and conducts in order to be built and strengthened. This very thought is based on two propositions. One, all members of the household of God are equally precious and important. Two, all members of the household of God must know what it means to behave well in the church. In church, without knowing right and wrong behaviors in church, they cannot behave properly. That's why sometimes even seemingly good and genuine believers misbehave in the midst of the local churches. Let me see the first point. All members are equally precious. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Would you like to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 6? Okay, let's read them together. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion, the chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him. Amen. As we are building a church, here Peter says that we are all building materials as living stones. It means that we are all needed and equally important to build a secure building. However, we all have different shapes. In order to be used in the building constructions, we must be chiseled and modified to be fit for the building. I'm not a good, person with, I'm not a person with my hands. Whatever I touch, I break. I do not build. But as we look at the builders or bricklayers, we see them. You know, always they are checking the levers and bricks they are using, you know, exactly the same shape and same size so that they can build the walls properly. And it is important for the builders to make the rightly fittable materials in order to build a building. When I was in Kenya, the Bible College buildings are basically built with the stones. So stone masons came to chisel up all those, kind of disfigured sides to be flat and nearly almost the same size so that they can be used as the building materials. Chiseling was necessary. We must recognize our differences from one another, but are gathered for one purpose, which is to build a house of God. If we consider our differences only as differences, then we will say that all those differences are making us experience conflicts and internal troubles, and we will be eventually stumbled over, some very unhappy and unedifying incidents. Why is he doing that? Why she says that, etc. However, our differences are to be modified. Not only their differences, our differences must be modified and molded in such a way that all of us will become fit for the Lord's use. Some people need more chiseling, unfortunately. Some people seem to need a bit less chiseling. But what we need, all of us need, is those chiseling process, cutting this and that. If we lay uneven stones to build a wall, this building will be very unstable and eventually collapse. Through our interactions and interactive activities and encounters, we are expected to be better materials for the Lord's use, Lord's house. Again, it teaches us about the connectivity of the believers within local churches. When we misbehave, our bricklaying work will not produce a good work. Each of us needs to be molded as vessels for Christ. Therefore, if you find some conflicts and differences in you with someone else, instead of being discouraged, praise the Lord. God is molding you. You may need some chiseling, and the other person needs some chiseling too. And all of you need those chiseling work by God. And secondly, all members must learn. Not just one part of the body of Christ needs to learn, but in fact, everyone has to learn. The church refers to the people of God. They ought to behave themselves in the church of God. If we put them together, we see both the problems and solutions of Christian churches or Christian themselves. All of us are not perfect, which is a main cause of our differences and even conflicts. All of us are, you know, from different spiritual background, and our understanding of the scriptures probably are in different levels. And our tolerance levels are also different. To some individuals, certain things are not bothering at all. But some individuals can be very sensitive. So we do have those differences. Through finding out our differences and conflicts, we begin to learn to make adjustments of ourselves in order to be fit to the use of the Lord in the church of God. If we fail to make these adjustments, we will not have a healthy spiritual growth, and also wherever we go, we will take the same problems with us. So if you have some issues here, I know that when you go somewhere, you will have the same issues there because you are exactly the same person. Unless you are changed, you will experience exactly the same issues wherever you go. Separating ourselves from the rest of the church is not a solution. Or making our own exclusive groups or parties within a local church is not a solution either, but rather that is another source of troubles. It is amazing to see that Apostle Paul talks about Christian behaviors in the church of God. It means that church is not a place where we do whatever we want to do or where there is no issue whatsoever. It also means that it is not a strange experience that we encounter some personal conflicts with others, even within our church. We are different, and all of us need adjustments. How much we are different from each other? Well, ask husbands and wives whether they are the same or different. Definitely, I'm different from my wife. She's very reasonable. But I feel that oftentimes she's very unreasonable to me. And I'm sure that she feels exactly the same way about me. But life goes on. Well, all of us need those adjustments, especially within the body of Christ Jesus. God has allowed us to have those experiences so that we can be properly modified. Modifications can be made. Because they cannot be done by my own efforts. God uses someone else to do it. So thank God even for the conflicts. If we use them graciously and thankfully and spiritually, even we can get benefits out of those conflicts. We are different and we need adjustments. They are for us. And also, if we know that Paul wrote this letter to Timothy under the influence of the Spirit of God, we should learn that the Spirit of God cares about his local churches and he does recognize the presence, the potential and possibilities of conflicts and disagreements. Isn't it true that Jesus said that he was going to build his church? And we are all the materials of that church building spiritually. Therefore, how we conduct ourselves in the midst of our church displays how we honor and respect our Lord Jesus too. We are not just relating ourselves to others, but what we are doing, how we are relating up to others, is actually a reflection of our relationship with the Lord. The believers of God ought to behave themselves in church. It tells us that everything in church must be done in orderly manner. There are rules and orders based on the scriptures. I know that some people are sick and tired of Christian churches as organizations. It is because the churches have done so many bad things as organizations. And sometimes even pastors are behaving themselves as dictators, and they are demanding, demanding, and demanding. Or sometimes some of the people in the leadership are so much demanding to the extent that they ignore the rest of the church people and so on. So people are so sick and tired of it. And so that's why some people are leaving from local congregations and local churches by claiming that they are just members of Universal Church. They hate local church. And they are saying that church as an organization is an artificial one, man-made one. Well, I want you to know that what Jesus built is his church. And also, church as an organization is instructed by the Lord himself in the scriptures. It is not man who appoints pastors, elders, and deacons as officers in the church so that church ministry can be done. No. In fact, If you read the first part of 1 Timothy chapter 3, which is our text chapter, you will find about those church offices. It is given by the inspiration of God. Very unfortunately, men themselves have misused or have been misled from God's instructions. So they have done wrong things as a result. Wrong testimonies have been made. As a result, the people began to misunderstand the nature of God's church. Church is from God. It is the church God instituted. It's not para-organizations God instituted. It is the church. Church is not a gathering or place where we can misbehave or talk anything we want. All believers of God must come and learn first to know how to behave themselves in God's church. Here, we need to pay attention to the word autist. O-U-G-H-T-E-S-T. Autist. Thou autist. Thou autist. Learn to behave. This word literally means necessary. It is necessary for us to know how to behave ourselves in the church of God. Or it is often translated as a must in the New Testament. Must. Therefore, know how to conduct in the church is everybody's must, duty, responsibility, and this knowledge requires our learning too. You and I must come and learn in the church about our conducts as children learn how to conduct themselves in their schools. The house of God must be sanctified by the people who have been taught of the things of God properly. Therefore, we need to be careful. There are reasons why Paul instructs Timothy and his church to learn to behave or conduct themselves in the church. For example, there are many temptations in the world. Often the sinfulness of the world comes into the church and becomes the norm or rule of its practice. Or Christians are bringing worldly values to make plans for God's churches. The wisdom of the world is only foolishness to God. And I think one of those most affected areas within Christian churches against the church of God or church offices is that how churches are dealing with their pastors. Let me be very frank with you. It is not a church, by the way, problem in Hope Church. That's why I'm telling you boldly. I do not believe that pastors are to be invited by making contracts. Well, there is a legal requirement. So, of course, if there is a legal requirement must be, of course, met. But at the same time, in the hearts of God's people, within Christian churches, there has to be a deep sense of God's calling and God's divine appointment. People, pastors are not to be moved or appointed by contracts and conditions alone. They must be called. Therefore, congregations must pray for the right man to come to be their pastor. At the same time, pastor must come with a sense of God's calling in order to minister to the congregation. There has to be a calling. So contract, I do not believe it. And I have seen that some churches, when they are dealing with the ministers of God, God's word, and their pastors, they try to control their pastors by money. Probably those professionals working outside of the church are not being treated as they are treating their pastors in their own churches. And some people have an idea that pastors must be living like church rats, church mouse. And I do not believe it. That is a wrong idea. In fact, the scripture tells us that the ones who are learning from someone, that the pastors must be able to share or communicate all good things with the ones who are teaching them. That is a proper attitude and the proper relationship with the pastors. Very sadly, a lot of pastors, wherever I go, I meet up with those individuals whose hearts are greatly disappointed and gravely saddened. That is one of the reasons whoever the servant of God comes to Hope Church, I love to give him some break. And our session has been very supportive. So any pastor comes, if the pastor can take some extra days for rest or holiday here, we want to provide them for the time of that rest and provide an accommodation and financial expenses so that those pastors can be fully rested before they return to their ministerial areas. Church and church offices, all of these things are appointed by God Himself. And we ought to remember that. And Christians are not to bring worldly values to make plans for God's churches. The wisdom of the world is only foolishness to God. Christians also need to learn that there is no more valuable thing in the church than God's people. You are the most valuable asset in this church. You as people, not project, not program, not this building. Even if I desire to do something, if it is going to make you stumbled over, I'm going to wait. I'm not going to do it. It is because you are most important and significant and valuable asset to me and to God, to the church of God. You are the church. Therefore, just look around you. Those individuals are the most valuable assets for God's church, for you too. Jesus died for them. Therefore, we should build a people-oriented church, not project or not even growth. We should not be a stumbling block to others. We ought to take special efforts to edify others. Therefore, find opportunities to minister to other people. Rather than, you know, you want to be ministered or served, serve first and minister first. Offer yourselves to others first. The believers' behaviors in churches include many areas of their behaviors. Their attitude toward one another, strangers, or visitors. When visitors come, I'm not sure whether we have visitors today, you greet them with really welcoming spirit. And the leaders, in particular, pastors and elders, build up good relationship with them and encourage them and pray for them every day. I often hear some people from the church, "Pastor, I do pray for you every day." What an honor and privilege to hear that. Wonderful. And think about the poor ones and needy ones, manners and widows, and the manners and conducts during our worship, prayers, giving, or holy ordinances. Have you ever given to Agape Fund, for example? You know, we all pray for the needy and poor. But actually, until we actually give sacrificially, we have not done anything. Because any service can given by us with lips. You have been praying for missions. Have you ever given to missions? So those attitudes need to be considered. And you have been talking about Christian love and affection and you know, brotherly charity and so on. Have you prayed for our other brethren? And have you, you know, been looking for opportunities to minister to the ones who may need your assistance? The list is just endless, which implies that we ought to ever learn to know what kinds of Christians we should be in the Church of God. If we can build ourselves up in such a manner by knowing, you know, properly how to behave ourselves within the community of God's people, I'm sure that we cannot just wait until another Sunday comes or another fellowship time comes. How often we hear discouraging words from the believers. I'm not talking about Hofers, but outside. They are saying, you know, our church and blah, blah, blah. And they are talking about all kinds of negative things. Well, if we can build a proper church by being willing to learn how to behave ourselves within the community of God's people, don't you think when we come to this gathering each time, we'll be really warmed inside? And we cannot but give out our love and affection to other people. I hope that that's the sort of church we'll be able to build. So haven of rest, not like real heaven, but at least this place. Whenever we are gathered together, our gathering will be able to give us the fresh air into our tired and weary souls. Paul wrote to Timothy that he ought to learn to behave himself in the church of God. It speaks to us about at least two things. One, local churches are important. So just in case, you know, students, when you finish your studies from here and you go back to your countries or somewhere else for your jobs, remember that you need to find a good Bible-believing church. You need to be a part of a local congregation. That's what God wants you to do. And also, secondly, local churches are not our playground, but the people of God who are precious to the eyes of God. So therefore, try to build the whole body, not just yourself, or not just a part of the body, the whole body. The edification of the whole church is the matter we need to be concerned about. It is because all the members within this body are precious souls to the eyes of God, redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The people of God must know that they ought to behave themselves in the church of God or within the community of God's people or the household of God. We are making our Christian testimonies while we serve the Lord within the believers' community. What kind of testimonies have you been made? Have you been able to make? I mean, objectively. Do you know how to behave yourselves in the house of God? Is your testimony godly and spiritual, God-honoring, God-pleasing? And I hope that this first feature, God is the people of God, will give us some spiritual food to digest in the coming week. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we are thankful and grateful that you have given us this local congregation, Hope Church. Help us to cherish her, love her, care about her, so that the testimony of Christ Jesus will be continued from generation to generation. Help us to learn how to behave ourselves within the believers' community, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.